Blog Talk Radio.
not forsake wisdom, and she will protect you. Love her, and she will watch over you. The beginning of wisdom is this. Get wisdom, though it costs all you have. Get understanding. And the word of the Lord is blessed. Proverbs chapter 4, verses 6 and 7, and that is from the New International Version. Good morning, prayer warriors. God bless each and every one of you. Today is the day that the Lord has made. I want you to get up and begin giving him glory. He is amazing. He is worthy of all the praise today. We're thanking and praising him for this new day, a day we've never seen before. It's some great things that are waiting on the horizon for you. So get up. Let's get ready to go get it. Let's get ready to give God glory today and let the world know that he is still alive because he lives in me. He lives in you. Thanking God for this, another opportunity for us to gather here at To Be Restored Ministries. I'm so thankful, grateful for every one of you prayer warriors that are faithful to the call of God, to know the power of prayer, know the importance of intercession as we intercede here daily. Our commitment is to saturate the earth with prayer, and we're standing in a place where we lay out before God, where we trust that God hears our prayers, and when he hears us, he answers. Heaven responds to the cry and the call of the righteous. Where are the righteous? Where are we calling out to God on behalf of our families, our nation, this world in whole? As we commit to saturate the earth with prayer, we know that there are some that don't have the strength to pray for themselves. So we are here to teach and to encourage you, to edify you, to get in your rightful place with God, and that is to be an intercessor. We're also here at To Be Restored every Monday through Friday, sharing devotion and prayer to encourage you, to have something for you to chew on in the morning, and prayerfully you will use it throughout the day, and it will be something that will give you strength. Thankful for this week, that being the first week of June 2019, and no matter when you're listening to this, I know it's turned into a podcast after we record it live, so it's applicable for any time of the year and any time of your life. But in general, we have designated the month of June to be the month for the family. We're praying for your family. We're praying and calling on the name of the Lord to save, deliver, and set free. Here at To Be Restored, we believe that the family is the first call. Yes, before you are able to go out and make sure everybody else is good, the Bible says charity begins at home and then spreads abroad. And we know that word charity, love. Love starts in the home, and our love is proven by the way we show the love of God. And the way we show the love of God is making sure that our family is intact. God wants to set divine order, and that's our focus for study this month. And so invite your family to join us. If you have family members, wherever they live, they can also listen. They don't necessarily have to dial in while we're live. I know some of you like to do that, and that's fine. But we stretched ourselves out so that we could have a better way of keeping in contact and making sure that this broadcast can get all over the world. So if you don't dial in while we're live in the morning, every Monday through Friday, 5:30 a.m. Central, 6:30 a.m. Eastern, you can share the podcast with someone. You can just tell them to simply go to blogtalkradio.com, blog talk, okay, blogtalkradio.com, and also you're going to put a / on that and then add Be Restored. And if all of that is too confusing, just go to on the web, toberestored.org. That'll link you to everything that we have offered, especially this broadcast, the information for that. And also we'll share it again at the end of this recording. We'll give information on how you can link up with us, how you can follow us, how you can find us. If you're interested in knowing more about our intercessory prayer trainings or marriage mentoring or anything like that, You can definitely listen to the information at the end, get a pen and a piece of paper handy so that you can write down how to contact us. So I have with me today, I need y'all to brace yourselves because I'm bringing him out of the cage. I'm bringing the fighter out of the cage. None other than the one and only Reverend Dr. Kenneth L. Carr, my husband, the one that God has blessed me to be able to see. Oh, my goodness. What have we seen together? 3 decades and some. So he's coming in, and we're going to talk about wisdom today for the family. Pastor Carr, are you there?
Thank you. Thank you. Praise God. Praise God. Amen. Amen. Good morning and praise God, everybody.
No. Mm-mm.
What?
Nope. Too much flesh. Too much flesh, Pastor. Bring it down. Ain't nobody praising you. We praising Jesus. He is the only one.
I said praise God.
No, you wanted an applause.
They're applauding, amen, the presence of God.
No, that's
glory to God. Huh? Nope, that ain't
okay.
It.
Okay. No, that's not.
But that was, be honest, that was a nice applause, wasn't it?
That no, was actually, it wasn't. It sounded, your sound effects sound horrible. You need to put that in as a recording so we can play it properly because that didn't sound right.
Well, thank you for crushing me. I appreciate that.
Well,
question in a
you
nice
want
way.
Honesty. We want that's truth, a, honesty. That's the only way we're going to do this here.
You could have put a little honey on there, but you just came
oh,
on
I'm
out
sorry.
With it.
Okay, that
please,
was hard.
It was horrible. It was horrible. It wasn't nice.
How should I say, have said it? Tell
that's
me.
That's what I get for 3 decades right there. That's what I get. Familiarity.
I know. We just say it. We don't even care how we say it. You know, at first we was real cautious and careful, saying it all nice. Well, that's because you know my heart by now.
Yeah.
You know my heart, right? You know my
okay.
heart.
Okay. All right, heart.
Did you say well, Glory, Pastor?
Well, I might as well go ahead and do it. You might as well just get your hands ready, just lift them up in the air, and just begin to say it with me. 1, 2, 3. Come on. Well, Glory. Uh-huh. That's
no,
what we
you
come
said
to do.
We
come to give him glory.
Yeah, we usually say, well,
Glory. Well, glory.
There it is. That's it. That's how we
let
say
it. Marinate. Well, glory.
Yes. Let that well set.
Amen. What are we talking about this morning?
Well, we're talking about the family this month. We're talking about the family. A very,
mm-hmm.
very important ministry for
that's
us.
That's a good discussion. Yeah.
Oh, I love talking about that. I love praying for families. I love, you know what I love?
What?
I love seeing families restored.
All families restored. I thought you were about to say me. Okay.
I do love you. Of course. Pastor, what?
Yeah.
Okay, so let me explain to everybody. He's in Illinois.
Right.
I'm in Maryland. So he's going through a little something right now, but he's going to be all right. Pastor, yes, I love you. Of course I love you. But I'm talking about
pray for
the work that we do. I'm talking about the work that pray for Pastor, please.
Pray for Pastor, Lord Jesus. Glory to God.
Okay, so
hallelujah.
The work we do, you know,
yes.
when I see families ministered to
mm-hmm.
and they come back together, if they've had a rip or a tear or just where the enemy has been fighting marriages
yeah.
or parents and children or siblings, you know,
mm-hmm.
families in general. I love to see families reunited. It just gives me so much joy.
I love it too. Yep.
Yeah.
I love it.
Yeah. And we dedicate a lot of time praying
same
for families.
And the same level of love that we have, the same concern we have for families when they're broken.
Yes.
Right?
Yes. Yes. That's what I'm saying. It's, you know, I one thing I definitely am vigilant about with the enemy, and that is where he comes in and fights against families.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And I'm vigilant And I'm really like a bulldog, really, when it comes to that. I'm on the enemy.
Look, you're no
yeah.
nonsense.
I'm That's it. That's me. Just call me Mrs. No Nonsense.
Nonsense.
Yes, I don't like it. You know why? Can I explain why? And I hope everybody hears me. You know, and today we're talking about wisdom for the family, and I read Proverbs chapter 4, verses 6 and 7 about not forsaking wisdom and how it protects you. But I remember, you know, in our own personal life, our marriage, our family, you know, established in 1988, where now here we are years later, the things that we went through and we learned how the enemy did not want our family to make it, our personal experience with the fight and the struggle to keep our family intact, when I see what the enemy tries to do, what he tried to do to my family, when I see him trying to do that to other families, that's why I become relentless. That's why I become focused. And that's where we gain strength and we strengthen one another, because I know we both have that same eye and that same diligence when it comes to that. Because I tell you, it's nothing like going through something yourself and you get angry. When you come out, there should be an indignation when you realize this is what the enemy tried to destroy me with. You know, looking at now where we are with enjoying grandchildren, and, you know, the enemy didn't want that to happen.
No, he didn't. Not at all.
He didn't want that to happen. He wanted, just like he wants to rip up other people that are listening right now, your family may be under attack. Matter of fact, not maybe. Scratch that. Your family is under attack. If you're listening to us right now, we already know. You don't have to tell us, because that's his plan.
That's right.
So let's talk about wisdom. I have several scriptures, but I'd like to just, you know, that's why I asked you to be with me today, be with me on my day today.
Are you stressing your day?
I wasn't stressing it, Pastor. I was just making a statement.
I just wanted to know. I thought you was trying to give me a hint that you were leaving.
Oh, wow.
I thought we were leaving together, you know, like walking.
What's going on?
Huh?
You all right? You're a little sensitive today.
I ain't had no coffee this morning.
Okay. Well, I'm praying for you that you get that coffee. But we're gonna get on this word.
I want to say this. You said something how the Lord brought us out of so many things. And when you said it, my mind went back into a time when I was the one that was always ready to run every time we had a problem. And I was saying to myself, you know, that's it. I want out. I'm gone. And you would look at me like, what is wrong with you? I made a decision to stay for better and for worse, because that's where you come from. My family, my mom divorced my biological father when I was like 4 or 5 years old, whatever. And I saw, you know, I thought that was an option, you know, to leave. But then after the Lord really began to build me and began to heal me from those things and let me know what his will was for my life and for our life, I think nowadays many young couples, they look at strong relationships, and they try to build what people had built in 30, 40 years. They try to build it in 2 years, and if they don't get it, it looked like to me they are running away from it. And so, like, even our sons and daughters said, Mom and Dad, you all made it look so easy. You know, like, it wasn't bad at all, but now that we're in it, we're finding out that, this is a lot, but we want to of the families today, that through the wisdom that God had given us through our parents and through other men and women of God, that surrounded us in our hard times. We want to give you that same wisdom so that you are able to make it. That's what we want. We want to equip you to fight, equip you to win, and let you know that divorce does not have to be an option for you at all.
Absolutely. Not two people that love God.
Right.
Two people that, and I know, you know, we all have struggles, okay? We all have some things, like you said, you came from a divorced home. Well, your mother had remarried by the time I met you.
Yeah.
You know, you had a stepfather, but your biological father and your mother were married and had 6, 7 children together, then divorced, you know. So you did not understand where I was coming from early on, where the planting of my family was all I knew that was most important, was even when we have an argument or disagreement, or I might not like something you do, you might not like something I do, that doesn't mean that you throw the marriage away. And because we are two people that we have chosen to follow Christ, we're on the winning side for marriage. You know, so you don't always feel like that because of life and struggles and issues, personal issues that you bring to the marriage. You don't always feel like that. However, the Word of God has already given us what we need. And so if you recall, whenever we would have disagreements or whatever, or we might be at a very bad place, you know, we would look and search for answers. And thank God we were surrounded by people of God, right? We had surrounded ourselves. We had, enveloped our relationship under, you know, your brother who had been married several years before we were, who was saved, he and his wife, and they were very, very instrumental in helping guide us in the early years, as well as the church family, as well as my parents, your mother, you know, those people that were surrounding us were for marriage, and they were encouraging us to go to God.
And they loved the both of us.
Yes, exactly. It wasn't one-sided. We never had anybody discouraged, not in that group, in that circle. We never had them telling us, well, you know, jumping on the bandwagon when I might not like something you did, and might come to my mom or to my sister-in-law with, this is what happened, and this is what Kenneth said, and this is how it happened, and da-da-da-da-da. It was always, they would listen, and then they would give wisdom from the Word of God that helped me to get back on straight street, to fall right back into place as a wife, not encouraging me to do it my way, or, yeah, he shouldn't have said that, and, girl, what you gonna do? All of that, mm-mm. It was back to the Word of what does the Word say? And that's where we want to talk about the wisdom, because I believe it is the Word of God that protects the family. It is the Word of God that protects the relationship, and not just for marriage, but brothers and sisters, parents and children, single parents, you know, as well. It's the Word of God. And when we get away from that, we're actually opening the door to the enemy, saying, come on in and have a seat. When we don't let the Word of God be the guide and the place for wisdom that is held as a regard for every decision.
Mm-hmm.
For every choice. So go ahead. I'm sorry.
I'm just agreeing with you right now. Every decision, every choice you said, having God in the midst of it.
Yes. And having Him be the foundation.
And it's going to require humility.
Oh. Okay, so let's look at this, because I know we can get really taken when we start talking about this, so I want to give plenty of time. I want to look at our early years. You know, we like to share testimony here. What'd you say? Oh, my goodness.
Oh, my.
Yes, so painting the picture. For those of you that don't know, I was only 5 when I got married 30 years ago. And I mean,
he just made me laugh all country.
I was straight out of kindergarten, and
hell,
you know, it wasn't the right thing, but when you listen, you might as well say it. I was 19, right?
Thank you for your mercy and grace, God.
Oh, thank you, God.
Blood covered up. Glory to God.
I'm covered in the blood. Glory to God.
You covered in the blood.
I'm covered in the
blood.
Watch
Jesus. Walk with her.
But, okay, so I was 19. I was 3 months from turning 20.
Mm-hmm.
And you were 20, 4 months from turning 21, right? We were babies. We really were babies.
Oh, we were.
You look 19 and 20 today. Getting
I was very mature for my age.
Oh, okay.
And you got quiet.
Well, I was thinking about what you said. You were.
Oh.
You were. Well, you know, 19 and 20, honestly, if we look at 19 and 20 back 30 years ago, it looked a little different because we didn't have so many things to slow us down from growing up. Now we have, it looks like, even though the younger generation moves faster, they grow up slower because they have so many things that distract them from being focused on being mature. Does
yeah.
that make sense?
I can agree with that. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And so where we were, you know, taught
not all,
early.
A lot.
Not all. I'm not saying in general. I'm not saying a blanket over every young person, but immaturity is more common now. In certain culture, in our American culture.
Well, the parents back in our day, they were intentional about building
that
daughter, and the men were intentional about building that son, saying, listen, let me show you this. This is real life here.
Right, preparing you for life.
Preparing us for life.
That is absolutely what I'm saying. Our parents were more intentional because they knew that they only had a short time with us.
Correct.
Now, you know, as parents, we tend to do a whole lot more, longer for our children, and for whatever reason, and I don't knock anybody for, you know, doing what they feel they need to do to help their children get on their feet. All I'm saying is when we got married, it looked a little different because we didn't have social media that has changed everything for our world, right?
Right.
We didn't have social media, and we were intentional about really, you and I, when we got married, our focus was really we wanted to be together, and we knew that God had to be that third strand. God had to be that core for us, right? That was, we both agreed in that. And so, you know, therefore, so let's look at the wisdom that the Lord began to immediately force us to seek for. You know, again, the age that we were was a challenge. And then also being minority, that's just a reality. And then the lack of education.
Yeah.
Because, of course, we hadn't finished college. We had attended but didn't finish. You know, so therefore we lacked. And that challenged us financially because of the lack of education, right? So right there, starting off, we got a lot working against us.
Mm-hmm.
And like most would say, we had to have wisdom because how to get in and out of situations, it was almost impossible for some things because of challenges. So I want to talk about one particular. I want to just touch on a few little incidents that happened leading us to.
Didn't talk to me about this.
And Will, trust me. Come on.
All right.
You don't trust me?
I trust you. Come on, let's do this.
Okay. So, do you remember? Okay.
Well, whatever.
Do you remember one particular day? And we had just moved. We moved away when we first got married. We moved out of state. We lived in Oklahoma, a real brief time. But it was a great time. We loved that, right? We loved that. We came back to Illinois. There was some family issues going on. Your sister had gotten very, very ill. And we came back, and we hadn't been here very long. But we had gotten our first apartment in Illinois.
Mm.
And when we got that apartment, maybe had
you
been there.
You cooked your first meal, something like that?
That
no.
wasn't there, Pastor. That was not.
Oh, wasn't there. Okay.
No, that's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking
okay,
about another time. The time that I was there, KJ was probably maybe 6 months.
KJ.
And, yeah,
so
the firstborn. The firstborn.
Yeah. I thought you
so
were talking about
we're talking like a year later. We're talking about a year and a half after we had gotten married.
Oh, okay. All right.
Okay. That's where I'm at. We got in our first apartment, right?
Gotcha.
We had probably been there maybe, I don't know, a few months, maybe even longer, maybe a year.
Okay.
We've been there a year. So anyway, the lights got cut off.
Mm. Oh, God.
Remember that?
Remember
you remember that?
Help
the lights
Lord.
Got cut off, and you were gone. You were gone, and I had never ever experienced anything like this. So I was totally taken off guard. I didn't know what to do. So I thought you couldn't stay. You know, here I am, a young mom with a baby. I'm thinking, and it's broad daylight. Summertime, I'm thinking, I can't stay here with no lights. Like, nobody can stay in a house that's, to me, it was uninhabitable without lights. Okay.
Well, if it gets dark, you can't.
Somebody listening right now is saying, it is.
It is, right? They're like, ooh, that's horrible. That is horrible.
Right. And it is, but, I mean, I was literally thinking, we can't sleep here. We can't stay here. Like, I can't even, you know. So, anyway, I decided I'm going to walk from the apartment to, because I knew you were gone. We didn't have a phone. There was no such thing as cell phones then, right?
Right.
We didn't have a house phone. That had already gotten cut off. So, I was walking to my brother-in-law, my husband's brother, and his wife's home.
Right.
And I was walking there so I could call you to tell you what had happened.
Mm-hmm.
And do you remember what happened from there?
Do I remember what happened from there?
Yes,
Simone,
sir.
Are you talking about my response?
I'm talking about what happened, yes. I'm talking about your response.
Yeah, it wasn't too good of a response.
Okay. We don't have to go into that. I just want to, you know, I'm leading.
You hear
I'm
me?
Going.
Can you hear me?
I heard you.
It was not a wise response.
Okay. Thank you. It wasn't.
But it was because of where I come from. Yeah, it
right.
was because of, you know, that's where I come from. My mother struggled and tried to pay the bills, and, you know, sometimes those lights got clicked off. But back in the day, you know, this was before they got all modernized. Somebody
right.
went up the pole.
Don't incriminate anybody on this line right now. Don't do that.
A neighbor. It was a neighbor.
Right. Hot wired delights. Amen. But okay, so your response threw
My
me.
My response was really different from yours because you had never, ever gone through that before.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
And so my response was like, this is not, I can't remember exactly what I said, but I responded in a way like it wasn't the end of the world, like, oh, my God, why are you going crazy? What
right.
is this?
And
you
it
know,
wasn't
not,
the end of the world, but
it was a necessity.
Right. then here I am, a young mom with a baby, not knowing what to do, and my husband is gone, you know, doing something, whatever, and I'm looking for you to come home, and your response was taking it lightly. You were taking it and making me to kind of look at it and say, well, so I was taken back. So with that, there was several incidents. Now, this was before I really realized that where God was really ready to take us. Another thing that happened, and this happened before that incident, what I'm about to share, when we first got back to Illinois from Oklahoma and we were looking for a church, we knew, you know, God was calling us to a place. And the experience that we had had in Oklahoma, you know, at the church where we were there, it was like something we had never experienced. Remember that?
Do I remember? It was a life-changing.
Yeah.
Life-changing situation.
Yeah.
That we, it was almost like, well, because before we got married anyway, we always talked about, we knew that the Lord had something for us to do, and we wanted to please the Lord. We did love God, and we wanted to please the Lord. And in our conversation about getting married, it was always about dealing with church and ministry. And we didn't know exactly what that calling was going to be, but because I was a musician and you were a singer and you helped with the youth department at your dad's church, So we knew that right there was all a part of it. So we began to have relationship with people who were on fire for God. And when we went to Oklahoma, God connected us with a man of God who was my first sergeant. I was in basic training, and I was able to go to church with my first sergeant and met these people who started a church. It was not traditional, but the people were on fire for the Lord, and it was such a experience that we had together as a couple, and it was the start of a brand new beginning for us spiritually. And so when we came back home, and we went to our former churches that we were at. You were at one church, I was at another, and we really tried to do it, you know, tried to make it work because, you know, it was our familiar place that we come from, but we didn't feel comfortable anymore because we had experienced God in such a way that was not being manifested at these familiar places that we had gone back. Yeah. So then the hunger level is now in a different place.
Right, because we tasted something different.
We had a taste of something different. It was a taste of something different, and so when we came back, we wasn't comfortable, and so we had to make a decision.
Right.
We had to make a decision about what are we going to do. And I knew, and you stated, I want to be with my husband, and you submitted that, and I was saying, no, go to your dad's church. I go to his church. You said, no, if I got to go to your church, I want to be with my husband, at a young age. You knew that's what you were supposed to do. I never pushed you to do it because I respected the fact that you were a PK. But you were like, no, I got to be with my husband. And so we went to my church for a little while, and, you know, although they were loving people, we knew that there, what we experienced, it wasn't there. And we wanted something that was really going to move us and take us spiritually to another level. And when that situation happened with the lights being cut off, it was a time that my brother and sister-in-law were able to minister to us.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
About their experience at this other church, at a new place, that the Lord had really given them a tremendous breakthrough. And that was an eye-opener for us in knowing that this is what we needed, not realizing. Some of you had heard my testimony about a gentleman that testified to me about how the Lord delivered him from perversion. And that's when the Lord spoke into my life about he's going to do the same thing for me and going to deliver me from the pain of the sexual abuse and then the torment of what happened. And God began the process. But my brother and sister-in-law were going to the exact same church.
Right.
And so it was through them that the Lord introduced us to the deliverance ministry.
Yeah.
And we didn't know everything about it. We just knew that there were some people on fire for God, a lot of young people that was on fire. They wasn't playing any games. They weren't concerned about, dressing a certain way or talking a certain way. Everybody came hurting. And everybody came hurting. And those that
broken.
Had been delivered, they were broken, and they came helping. They came helping those that were broken after the Lord brought deliverance into their lives. And so the experience of deliverance was amazing to us. It was completely amazing. It's oh my God, how the Lord just began to they began to minister love to us because we were individually broken. Now I knew I was. My wife, you know, because she's so fine, she covered up with her beauty, amen. And you could really tell that she was really going through something, amen. Until
I was a mess.
You was a mess in town, just a mess.
I was a mess. I was messed up, full of rejection, full of hurts,
And family bloodline curses that were manifesting in life. And, I want to get to this part that when we went to this particular church and we knew that it was refreshing to us, you actually, because I was one that had never showed any emotions in church, especially in front of you, when I got to this particular church because I was so hungry for a move of God, when I got to this particular church, you watched God begin to move in me.
Yes.
And you watched the Spirit of God begin to break me like never before. And you saw the Lord begin to build me. And irregardless of what you probably thought or felt about the people there or your dad being a pastor and things like that, you knew the importance of the move was for me.
Yeah.
And so you gave God an opportunity to be able to submit, although being a PK, and it could have been a time that we both could have gone to your dad's church and really help. You surrendered all of that, and you said, I want to go with my husband. And then when you saw God move me in a place or move me to a place that you had never seen before, you knew that was the place for us. You said, listen, if this church can move my husband, if y'all can make him cry and shout, I know this is the place for us.
This has got to be the place. Exactly.
It's got to be the place.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And though I didn't understand, because it was not a traditional church, and let's talk about what I had to endure, you know, first off from here I was at my dad's church. I leave there to go be with you, and now we're both talking about leaving the church where you were going and going to a church that was not, at that time, in the early 90s, the deliverance ministry was not popular. Okay?
No, it wasn't.
People that was talking about demons, let's talk about this for real. People that were talking about a Christian can have a demon and casting out devils, that was not the church that people were running to from the traditional churches.
Yeah, come on. Christians got a demon.
Yeah.
Come on, say.
Yeah. Churches, this is not talking about anybody. It's just churches were bashing the type of ministry that we were being introduced to, and it wasn't popular. And it was almost like you had to secretly be a part of it.
Yeah. Family members were.
That's a reality. That's a reality.
Like,
now people, everybody talking about deliverance.
Yeah, right, yeah.
But then it was not popular. And so here I have a father who's a pastor. You have a family that has helped start a church And that church is established, and that's where you attended all your life. And now we're both talking about we're going to go up here, up the highway. What are they talking about? We got demons.
Correct.
And we want our demons cast out. People was looking at us like, what are you talking about? I have family members calling me, asking me, are you sure this is God? So all I could tell them, and this is why we're focusing on wisdom, because I know it was nothing but the wisdom of God. Had nothing to do with my 20-year-old, 21, 22-year-old mind. It had everything to do with the wisdom of God and the seeking and the drawing. I didn't understand. And it was something in me. It was my mind was telling me this doesn't really make sense. But there was something in me that said, go with it.
Yeah.
Though everybody else is talking about it, your husband has received a breakthrough. Your life is changing. Stay there.
Right.
And yield. And so when the discussion came and you asked me, you said, do you want to join this church?
Right. Yeah.
And I answered you remember what I said?
It's been
my answer
years.
Was, I know,
what
that's
was,
okay, I remember.
What
my
was
answer was, that's not even a question. Because what I had seen in you and what I had experienced, it wasn't just even you, I had experienced a breakthrough. I know how the Holy Spirit had begun to reveal and open up areas of my life that I hadn't told anyone. And those things were being dealt with, and I could feel the presence of God, the anointing of God. And so it was the wisdom of God that led us. And we're talking about it because that was the beginning of the shaping and the forming for our family.
Yes, and I wanted to just say this little footnote here, that you were raised missionary Baptist.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm saying this for a reason. I was raised Church of God in Christ because of our teaching. Some of the things that we were learning in the deliverance went against some of the things that we were taught growing up.
Mm-hmm.
It was. And so it took a revelation to take place in our life in order for us to really get it and understand it, but it was a place that we knew that God had us there.
Mm.
He had us there. We knew it. And although the arguments and the disappointments and disagreements, it was because of that one decision. And I want to say this, that if you would have been the wife to say, you know what, I don't know about this day. I don't know about this. I think we need to look at somewhere because I don't agree with this. This is crazy. I don't believe in person having a evil spirit and, you know, how can we have, if there would have been an argument or if there would have been something that would have pulled you away from it, I would have been pulled away. Then I would have missed what God wanted of me. Yeah, I would have missed it. And I was the most important factor in this because if I hadn't received my deliverance, then my family would have suffered tremendously.
Absolutely.
We probably would not have been together. At all.
Absolutely. No.
Yes.
Absolutely.
By me being the covering and the shield for my family, I needed to be in a place like that. And so many times, I think that's where you're going right here, but so many times decisions are made through control by emotional control. Because if my wife was emotional at the time saying, I don't like this, I don't want this, and this or that or whatever, and not really allowing the Lord to look through her eyes and making a wise decision to know that my husband is being built right now.
If I make another different
decision, he is going to miss this feeding time. See, we don't know the future that God has for us. And we don't realize that the Lord have us in position. He has us in position to become what his will is for our life. And I had no idea, even being close to every pastor I was with, from Kankakee to college in Arkansas and then coming back home, but every pastor that I was under, I was tied like right next to him.
Mm-hmm.
And I didn't understand it.
Yes.
And but now when I look back on it, I see the Lord was, he was just allowing the oil to drop on my life.
Yes.
And preparing me for what's to come.
Yes.
And so many times we make emotional, selfish decisions.
Or we let fear. If I could throw this in, Pastor, and I want to throw this in. We let fear as
fear,
a wife.
Yes.
You know, one of the fears I know. Well, I was going to say as a wife, one of the fears was trusting your leadership or trusting, you know, because of certain things that I knew we had already gone through, because like you explained where you came from or because
right.
of your struggle. And so fear, I had already kind of put guards up that I don't know if I can trust you. But when I started seeing the hand of God move in your life, and when I knew God was dealing with you in areas that nobody else had ever addressed, and you were being broken in those areas, I knew I couldn't pull you away. If I tried to pull you away from that, that was going to hurt me.
Yeah.
Not just hurt you, but it was going to hurt me and our future family. So the Holy Spirit himself, and I definitely thank God for giving me that insight, that wisdom to hold back. And to trust him, it wasn't even about trusting you. It was about trusting God, because God was leading you to this place. And though I didn't understand it, though it went against everything that I knew to be foundational as far as teaching, as far as preaching, but yet there was something different that my spirit was crying out for.
Yes. Oh, my God.
And so, therefore, I was drawn to it. Because of what my soul needed, because of what my soul was hungry for. And that's where, you know, we pray for families, because so many times, Pastor, and I'm just going to lay it out here. I'm not going to sugarcoat
it. Come on,
so many times there is a wife that is being led by the enemy.
Yeah.
To discourage her husband from getting out of that place where God is dealing with him.
Right.
And then later on, most of the time, we don't see the effects of it right away. Stuff like this, it takes time. And what the enemy loves to do is draw us into a web. And all along, while we're thinking everything is okay, especially after, you know, when that wife or, you know, even sometimes the mother of the son that's an adult that's trying to make decision on what he's going to do next, just the females, because we get emotional, or it's the things that we're not really prayerfully submitting to God and trusting God.
Right.
And mostly, and I have to stay on the wife issue, because the wise woman, the Bible says in Proverbs chapter 14, the wise woman builds her house.
Yes.
I might be known as being hard on women, and I don't want to be, but I have to lay the truth out. The truth is this. If we let the wisdom of God lead us, sometimes it's just in the things that we can be quiet in that God will take over. And the things that we think we have to argue with or talk about or say, well, I don't know if it should go like that, God said, I got it. Let me handle it.
Yeah.
And the things that we're trying to harp on, well, you need to do this and you need to do that, and why are you doing it like that? And, you know, and though we might have some valid points, wise ideas, but how we allow God to lead the man and not try to take the lead ourselves, because if we do that, we're damaging our homes.
Amen.
And that's not the wisdom of God. We got to pray.
Yeah, you made me think about, you might as well forget it. You
got to pray, Pastor. We out of time.
No, we ain't out of time. We got
an hour.
Huh?
No, we don't. Yeah. We got to go. We got to do this again. I got
this
Monday.
Go a little longer. Hold on, let me see.
No, we can't, Pastor. We cannot.
Watch me.
We've got to go.
It reminded me of a, it reminded me of the couple that we mentor out east. And this gentleman, he wasn't in the church. He wasn't saved. And so now he's at a church that his wife was a member for years, but she's at a point where she's ready to go. She's ready to go, and she's ready to, you know, to be done because some things that took place, and she's really completely cut off. But after sitting with them and really speaking with them about it and watching this young man now faithfully going to church, and now his understanding is really coming to a place where he's saying, you know what, I want to try this. You know, I want to be saved. I want to love God. And now he's working in the church 100%. The ultimate goal for the family is for God to build the family to a place where they are both sensitive to the things of God. Now, yes, she's been saved the longest, and she's been in the church the longest. He's just getting saved, and he's dedicated. And I just simply said to her that the wise thing for you is to look at your husband, look at what God is doing in his life. What would happen if you pull him out now? Can you find a place in your heart to truly forgive and to work around all of your hang-ups and really can you allow God to, I said, maybe the Lord is, even maybe the Lord is trying to keep you there so you can get those things corrected. It may not be to everybody else. It may be something that God is trying to pull out of you. But at the same time, your husband is getting saved. If you pull him out now, what is going to happen to your future? Because that's the most important thing. See, wisdom goes beyond what you want to do.
Oh, my God. That's it.
It's what you need to do.
Let's stop here. We have to pray. I know we're at the end of our time. And we want to continue this. We invite you to have your family join, those of you that are praying for family members to be saved, to come under this wisdom, those that you know that you have young children that you're raising and maybe your family is in disarray, there's division, strife. We invite you, join us again. We're going to continue this conversation on Monday. But we want to pray for you because, like we said, we're praying for families. We're praying for wholeness. Even those of you that are praying in proxy for family members, maybe this doesn't apply to you, but you know that there's someone that you can share this with. Don't feel left out because you have a job and a duty and a responsibility to help them build where God wants to build their family. You have, God has put this in your hands so that you can help them. So we invite you to have your families join, have your families meet us for prayer as we pray for you. Send us your family names. We've gotten so many family names. Thank you for those of you that are sending them. We're putting our hands on those names as we pray and believing God that God is going to open up doors, healing, deliverance, salvation, miracles. Some of you need financial miracles for your family. Some of you need salvation and deliverance miracles. It's going to take a miracle for certain ones in your family to come out of where they are. We're believing God. So I want to pray. I want to pray for you today. Father, we just thank you right now. Glory to your name, God. Hallelujah. God, we just thank you for your wisdom today. Thank you, God, for your word today. Thank you, God, for your power, that your power is real through Jesus Christ. Lord Jesus, we acknowledge you right now over this day, over this hour, over this time, over these souls that are here. You know each one of us name by name. You know each one of us heart by heart, and we open ourselves up to you today. We thank you, Lord God, for being the Lord that you are, for being the God that you are. We thank you that through all tests and trials, through all times in and times out, you remain the same. And we come to you now asking that you would first forgive us for the times that we've not used wisdom, the times that we've not allowed wisdom to operate through our family, And God, the things that we've shared today, though it might not be for everybody, God, I know that there's a particular woman, a particular man, a particular family that you are dealing with right now, that you are shifting. You're desiring to move and to shift. You're desiring to pour out on them. You are hearing the cry of their soul, and you, God, desire to take them higher to a place that they've never known before, and everything that's around them is pulling them and stretching them and trying to separate and divide. But God, we know you are greater. God, we know your power is real. So God, just as you have done for our family, and just as you have done for so many others, God, down through the years and the ages, I ask right now on behalf of those that are suffering in their marriages, those that are suffering in their homes, those that are suffering with their children, those that are suffering, God, and nobody else knows, or it's done secretly, and God, they're coming out smiling, and everybody thinks that they're happy, but God, they're going home and miserable and hurting and disappointed. God, you see and you know. You know the wife, God, that is dealing with the pain and the anguish, and her family is being torn apart. You know the husband that's hurting, God, and doesn't know the direction to take his family. So, God, we ask right now as we intercede that you would let your light shine, that the light from heaven begin to shine in those dark places. And, God, everything that the enemy has meant for evil, we pray now that you get the glory, that you will begin to reveal and open up understanding in the name of Jesus. We bind up every spirit that works against us walking in wisdom and knowing your wisdom, oh God. We break the assignments and bloodline curses, Lord God, over families that the enemy intends to tear apart through divorce and through adultery and infidelity, oh God. All of the assignments that the enemy has been setting over families and homes, God, I thank you now that you're going to give us the insight and the wisdom and the understanding of knowing which way to go. God, I thank you that you're leading that husband. God, as you begin to open up his understanding and as you begin to break him on the inside, oh God, I thank you that you put the man as the head. And God, we want your divine order for the families today. Oh, God, I pray for those families, God, that have been turned around and got put in positions where the enemy has come and made them vulnerable and attacked them. Oh, God, I ask that you would let the blood of Jesus begin to cover in the name of Jesus Christ. We break and destroy the assignments of division and strife within the home. Oh, God, even the children that have been put under the radar of the enemy. Oh, God, we ask right now that you will let your blood begin to saturate. Let your blood begin to cover. Let your blood cover that son that's run away, that daughter that's run away because of what's going on in the home. And, God, the pretension and the lies and the deception that the enemy has even put out, God, against the families to break them up and to destroy. We break and destroy that assignment now. God, we thank you that your blood reveals, that your blood redeems. Oh, God, that your blood is powerful. God, let the blood cover the father. Let the blood cover the mother. God, even those that are suffering now, though their parents are gone on and they've gotten older, but yet on the inside, there's turmoil and there's stress and anxiety, God, because of their past and what they've gone through. Some right now that are working and operating in their lives under the curse of what mama did and what daddy did and where they weren't in their places. God, I ask that you would begin to break us on the inside in these areas, God, where we've tried to hold ourselves and in these areas where we've tried to change ourselves. God, you are the only one that can fix it. You are the only one that can change it. You are the only one that can open us up, God, and do a spiritual surgery in our heart, Lord God. Oh, God, where our hearts have been broken and disappointed, let your spirit arise and the enemy be scattered. Let your word begin to go into the deep recesses of our soul, God, and bring truth in the name of Jesus. Bring wisdom in the name of Jesus. Bring your word, God, to help us understand what you have and what you desire to do with our lives. God, we submit and surrender. We submit and surrender under your will. God, the families that now need to know which direction, I thank you, Lord God, that you're going to give a plan for the husband, a plan for the wife, a plan for the children. God, even in where they're to worship and what they're supposed to do with their business, where they're supposed supposed to do with their family, what they're supposed to do in working and the employment decisions. Oh, God, somebody has to make decisions now even over what their next is going to be. I thank you, Lord God, that the next that you have for them looks greater than the past. I thank you, Lord God, that your promises are sure, that your promises are true, and we can trust you, Lord God. God, where people have tried to discourage, where people have tried to bring negativity over our families, and God, spoken out things ignorantly and said things, even the things that we have said ignorantly against our own selves, God, we cancel every spoken curse, every word curse that we have said ignorantly, Lord God. We cancel every negative word, every negative attitude. God, we thank you that as we look at your plan for our lives, that plan is promising. That plan has life. That plan, oh God, has us going to higher heights and deeper depths, Lord God, not just in the natural, but in the spirit, oh God. I thank you for ministries that are going to be birthed as a result of us yielding, as a result of your wisdom coming in. I thank you, Lord God, that the next generation that we're responsible to raise, God, they're going to be raised in holiness. Oh, God, even while this world is becoming more evil, I thank you that you're raising up standards for families, Lord God, that children, young people, young adults, oh, God, are going to get on fire for you. Oh, God, we ask even now that you would help us to reset ourselves. Reset us, oh, God, in the place of the foundation of holiness. Let holiness be our guide. Let wisdom, God, be what we seek after. Let wisdom be what we need, what we desire, what we want to even exemplify before those that are around us, oh God. Give us the right decisions and the right people and the right connections. We break every ungodly soul tie with those that are not walking in wisdom, Lord God. And we thank you even now that you're covering our pathway for this day, oh God. God, give us direction for this day, for the things that we have to do. We thank you for the strength, the endurance, and the ability to carry it out for your glory and for your honor. And it is in your Son Jesus' name we believe and we know, God, that it can be done, that it will be done, that it shall be done for your glory and for your name's sake. In Jesus' name we believe it to be so, and we call it done now. Amen. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. We give God the glory. Hallelujah. Thanking God for his wisdom. Walk in his wisdom. Walk in his truth. Walk in his anointing. And watch God do it. We love you today. Continue to pray for us as we pray for you and pray for your families. Thank you, Pastor Carr, for being with me today. Bless you. I love you. I love each one of you.
Love you, too.
Amen. Have a great day.
Thank you for joining To Be Restored, a time of devotion and prayer. Brought to you by Marlene Carr and the partners of To Be Restored Ministries. Pray with us live every Monday through Friday at 5:30 a.m. Central Time, 6:30 a.m. Eastern. To join us while we're on live, dial 646-668-8056 or tune in and listen to our podcasts at blogtalkradio.com/Be Restored. Do you need to build, rebuild, or strengthen your prayer life? Right now, you can access over 1,200 recorded prayers on numerous topics like faith, family, God's love, and forgiveness. Go to toberestored.org to access pre-recorded prayers, where you will find encouragement to pray through any of life's circumstances. Like and follow us on Facebook at To Be Restored Ministries, and follow Marlene on Instagram at MarleneCarr1. If you're interested in contacting Marlene for a speaking engagement, or desire information about enrolling in intercessory prayer training, visit toberestored.org or call Total Restoration Church, 815-573-5517. That's 815-573-5517. To Be Restored Ministries is committed to saturating the earth with prayer.